Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
How's everybody's weekend, Kristen?
It was great. I'm still sore.
From the Pilates class last week?
From Friday.
Yeah, huh?
My quads and my butt have never been worked out like that.
I took two new people to Pilates over the weekend. I took Kristen on Friday and I took a friend yesterday. And I feel like I took them both to boot camp. Like they both texted me being like, I can't move. I haven't left my bed since 11 a.m. because my quads are shaking.
So we had the Burt Show suite at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Saturday night for the Atlanta United game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can walk to the stadium.
Taking the elevator.
I don't know if I can get there.
But your butt looked good in those pants. So.
Thank you.
At least
thank
it felt
you.
Like it looked good, right?
Yeah. So, and then we had Bart's birthday dinner Friday night.
Yeah, he's so hoity-toity.
I know. With his Wing Factory request.
That was great.
But I was telling Cassie and Abby when we were at the suite Saturday night, I'm like, listen, while that night, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love some Wing Factory, especially their cheese fries.
Yeah.
Before my 50th, no, I told my husband, I'm like, we're doing some kind of foreign country. I don't know where we're going, but we're not going to be on Roswell Road. We're going to be in Greece or we're going to be in Paris or we're going to be somewhere.
I loved it, man. It was just so chill and it was the best of friends all hanging out. It was perfect for him.
It was totally perfect. Yeah. And I was telling Cassie and Abby, I go, once everybody had arrived and he was getting his last hug, I looked at his face. And the man was beaming.
Yeah.
Like he was so happy. He was so content. He got exactly what he wanted. And he was so joyful to be around, you know, his best friends.
Yeah.
So I couldn't have asked for a better night, Friday night, and then Saturday night. And then Sunday was just trying to get our house back in order.
Okay. How about you, Mo? How was the weekend?
It was pretty uneventful, to be honest. We got some not so great news in my family.
Oh,
so
no.
it was like one of those weekends. A lot of family coming together and talking, trying to figure out what our next move is going to be. But it was a lot of that. It was a lot of hanging out with my guy, trying to work on some other stuff. But to be fully honest, it wasn't the greatest weekend for me.
Oh,
but
sorry,
it was
man.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry. How about you?
For me, it was a pretty low-key weekend.
Yep.
It started by taking Kristen to Pilates and really watching her shake in front of the entire class. And then Saturday, we had the Atlanta United suite with the Burt Show ladies and some Burt Show listeners. Went out that night with some friends and then was in bed until noon the next day because of the night that I had on Saturday.
Did you end up going to the Beltline afterwards?
Yeah, I did.
I'm guessing you went home.
Of course I did.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, actually I didn't. You would be proud of me because...
I'd have been proud of you for going home.
because traffic was so bad, and I had taken public transportation there, but I really didn't feel comfortable by myself taking it back. So I was like, I'll just hang out at this hotel next to the stadium, have a drink. And so I went, and I just people watched, and then Sweet Cass came and picked me up because she was stuck in traffic anyway and took me home.
Oh, cool.
So I actually, like, yeah, I went and grabbed, and I was doing, I considered it doing recon for you, Abby, because I was scoping to see if, like, any hot guys hung out there after the game, you're good.
That's typically how it goes.
Yeah.
I was pretty low-key also besides Friday night, hanging out with you guys, getting wings. I hung out with Amanda and her son all weekend, so it was pretty low-key. And when they left yesterday at 6, I was reminded that little kids, man, they can knock it right out of you, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I needed so much rest after that.
Yeah.
So it was pretty low-key for me, too. Pretty low-key. All right, so Abby, let's get you in the hot seat here. Plead the fifth. Five really difficult questions designed to make her squirm a little bit. She can back out of one of them if she's a yeller.
Question number one, Abby. You've endured some pretty bad friendship breakups. Which one are you most glad is over?
All of them. I'm trying to think. I think the older you get, the more you're less surprised by people. You're less surprised by bad things that happen in your life. So for me, I would say I had a really bad one in high school that I just didn't understand. It was like me and my best friend were both in the same pageant. I won. She didn't. She was mad she didn't win. She stopped talking to me. And so when you're in high school, you don't understand, like, people can be complicated and, you know, it comes out of nowhere and then you have nowhere to sit with at lunch. So probably that one.
Have you gone back to your high school reunion yet?
No, it's actually supposed to be this year, but I don't think we're having one. I don't think people do high school reunions anymore.
You don't really, you didn't really like high school anyway, did you?
Oh my God, I hated high school. Right. High school was not fun for me. So yeah, probably the ones in high school.
Yeah, but that's when you go back and you flaunt your success.
Yeah, they can see it on Instagram. I already know they're stalking me and making fun of me. I'm in several group chats, I promise you.
I guarantee you it's because we can keep up with each other on social media now. There really doesn't seem to be a need or want to do one. Yeah.
Why would you? I can just stalk you on Facebook and look at where you went on vacation the last 7
years. Yeah, let's not actually hang out with each other and talk to each other in person.
Nah. From high school? Nah.
Nah, we could just DM each other.
Never went to one of mine.
All right.
Is that right?
No.
I didn't either. Yeah. Not a one.
I went to the 10 year and I was so pleasantly surprised that everybody was really kind of the same. The 15th, that's when they start to change. And the guys that were studs, I was like, ah, you lost your hair.
All right. You've been honest and said you and your brother aren't super tight.
Y'all are just really going in for it.
When your brother gets married, do you think you'll be in the wedding?
Yeah, I for sure will be.
Yeah.
Because your mom will demand it.
Yeah, probably. me and his girlfriend are cool. And I think I come from a very traditional family. And so they'll do the traditional thing, which is to invite the sister to be in the wedding.
Yeah.
You're
probably going to be standing at the register watching people sign in.
I'm going to be at the back of the line. I'm going to be in the wedding, but I'm going to be the least important person in the wedding.
It's called the guest book, Tommy, not the register.
Is the register the funeral?
Yes, maybe.
All right. Has anybody on the show ever said anything on the air that really hurt your feelings?
That really hurt my feelings? Not on the air, but that's not the question, so I don't have to answer it.
Oh, wow. Good one.
We'll save that one for next time.
I got two questions left. And guess what question's next? Go ahead. Answer.
No. What does it say on the list, Tommy? What do you have written down?
This is my list.
No, yeah. I want to know what was on the list before I had that amazing teaser.
On the show
welcome
ever
to Tommy's
said
world.
Anything that really hurts your feelings?
I'm not answering
any
that.
Time.
You plead the fifth.
Oh, you just wasted one of the questions, man.
Hey, that's what you get, Thomas.
All right. Now I have to choose between the real last two. All right. You guys, the youth group of The Burt Show, have a podcast called Personality Hires. It's on The Burt Show.
Who do you think should be out of the podcast
on Burt's Pioneer Network? Rank the youth group members based on their performance on said podcast.
Dang. So you're not getting rid of them. You got to rank them.
Might have used that plea to 15 soon.
No. Let me guess. Abby, first.
No, I probably put myself last. Let me think. Rebecca is the one that edits it, usually, except I edited this week. So I'm going to put me and her in the top two places because we do the most labor. So Rebecca, number one. Me, number two. Amber, number three. Jackson, Mikey.
Really?
I mean, that doesn't really say much. I like everyone. Yeah. So it's not I think Mikey's terrible. I think he doesn't deserve to be on the podcast. It's just, I'm just looking at who carries the most weight on their back.
Yeah, I thought Jackson was really very hands-on. Nope. Okay. Guess not. All right, well, you got through four of the five.
I hope that was juicy and fun for you guys.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We finally know how Gene Hackman and his wife died, and it's honestly really tragic, so brace yourself for that in just a second. But before we get into that story, I watched that show that everyone on my For You page has been talking about, the really controversial one. We Love Megan. Everyone seems to have one opinion on it or the other.
I know the British press are coming down on her hard.
Well, I mean, what else is new? They typically come down on Megan for literally anything. But I feel like everybody has either really loved the show because you're a big fan of Megan, or if you've just really hated Megan for how long, for whatever reason, you're not going to like the show. So I decided to tune in to get my own opinion.
Before you share your opinion, so what I've seen on my For You page, and the people who have been commenting don't have like a vendetta against her. Like they don't like that. It's not like they hate her, so they're going to come in with a bias. They watched it and they just said, it's just not good.
Here's the thing about her. I don't know that she's, what has she done wrong besides be the color of her skin that people have been saying she's been a victim of racism for a very long time? What has she ever done that people can really point to her and go, oh, see, that's why she's not a good person? I think people have assumed that she was the one that pulled her away from the royal family, but you can't really point to anything.
Yeah, I mean, she was, she's American, right? Or is she Canadian?
She's American, but okay. Suits was filmed in Canada.
Okay, she's an American who married into the royal family, so she already had a strike against her. Unfortunately, she wasn't white, which we know is ridiculous that this is a strike, but for racist British people, it is. Not all Brits are racist, but the ones are. And then the controversy is, there are conspiracy theories around it, but basically the British press lambasted her ever since day one. If Kate Middleton did it, it was amazing, the best thing in the world. But if Meghan Markle did the exact same thing, it was horrible. She was trashy. She was classless. Now, there are conspiracy theories behind why they went for her, maybe to distract eyes away from other breaking news that was happening in the royal family and kind of throw her under the bus. But the momentum built from there, and she hasn't been able to escape from out of it, which is unfair. But the show, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch clips, and she doesn't help herself.
No.
She comes off as fake. And that's, I think, what people have
a
hard time.
Oh, she lives
in L.A. Yeah, I know. But, like, there
it's
are celebs.
Very L.A.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are celebs who are famous, like Kristen Bell, and you feel like she's one of the girls, and you could go knock back drinks with her. If with Meghan, it doesn't. It's just coming off disingenuous, and I think that's what people are picking up on in the U.S., at least. England's a different story, and I think that's why, in conjunction with everything they've heard from the headlines overseas, it's built this unfair narrative against her.
Is that what you felt watching it?
Well, to be fair, to go back to like her reputation before, I feel like she's kind of going through what Blake Lively's going through right now, where people are seeing a series of interviews and not really liking her portrayal of herself and her family and choosing to leave the royal family but still go by the Duchess of Sussex. I think a lot of people feel like, I think the word used was grifter, like, okay, we're going to do all these money grab things like the Archetypes podcast, and now we're doing the With Love Meghan show, and it just feels like, do you want us to leave you alone or do you want to work in the entertainment industry? I think that's why people are kind of split on their opinion of her. It's like, okay, well, you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. And so it all feels very disingenuous. And so when the show comes out and people are watching her and their opinion is that she is coming off disingenuous, it's not, again, like Cassie said, it's not really helping that her case.
And you're asking, like, what did she ever do? I think there's a large subset of people who believe she's the reason why Prince Harry and Prince William don't have a relationship.
I see.
So they're seeing that go down. So I turned it on over the weekend because I was like, I need some escapism. I personally love when rich people rich. I want to see you be as out of touch as possible. I want to see you use $1 million beeswax from your bee farm in your backyard, which is exactly what she does in episode one. And so honestly, because the Nancy Myers aesthetic is really in right now, like, you know, having a nice farmhouse and making things from scratch and being a hostess, I really enjoyed it. I do have some criticisms in the sense that, like, I didn't get the sense that a lot of the things that she was showing us how to do, a lot of the DIY things, like making the beeswax candles. Like, she literally said, I've never done this before. I'm like, okay, well, if you've never done it before, why are you showing me how to do it?
Yeah.
Like, there was some of that that I didn't really like, but I personally love to watch rich people live rich lives. So I think it's a fun thing to turn on in the background while you're, like, cleaning your house and kind of watching, you know, rich people be a little out of touch. And of course, there are some of those cringy moments we've seen from, like, her and Mindy Kaling and her correcting her on the last name usage and making sure that she called her Sussex, even though everyone kind of knows her as Meghan Markle. So I think it's worth tuning in just to get your own opinion on it rather than just watching what people are saying, but it is kind of a fun escape. Okay, back to Gene Hackman and his wife, because this entire story has really shook people to their core, because a lot of people were wondering, is there foul play involved? Both of them died, but it looks like they might have died in different parts of the house. Did they die from the same thing? Was it carbon monoxide? So the backstory here is that Gene Hackman and his wife both were found dead in their home in separate rooms. Gene was found in the kitchen and his wife was in the bathroom with their dog, who was locked in a crate. She was surrounded by pills that were scattered on the floor, and people were like, oh my God, what happened here? So we finally have the actual autopsy report of their health at the time of death. And authorities are saying that Betsy, his wife, actually passed away first. And now this is important because Betsy was actually his caretaker because he's suffering from Alzheimer's. So she died of something called hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, which is a very severe respiratory illness that you get from getting in contact with infected rodents. So she died from that.
What the heck?
I know, it's absolutely insane. And then Jean would have survived, but of course, when you have somebody who is taking care of your every need, making sure you eat and sleep and can get around because you can't fully function when you have really advanced Alzheimer's, then, you know, he would have passed away because he couldn't take care of himself. But also, he was suffering from, yes, of course, advanced Alzheimer's, but there's no food in his system. So they also believe that he just, like, couldn't take care of himself after she passed away. So
that is so, so horrifically sad.
It's so awful.
Here's the thing. That didn't make sense to me either. He's got three kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Why is no one checking in on him?
Like, nobody called? Like, I mean, just every now and then calling in, checking in on the family. Hey, three of them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, maybe it seems odd, but we don't know the relationship he has with his kids.
Uh-uh.
And I mean,
that's why I said it seemed a little weird.
But I mean, I can go 2 weeks without talking to somebody in my family.
But if you got three, between you and your brother,
yeah,
will you go 3 weeks without?
No.
Yeah, right.
No.
And here's a third one.
Yeah, never. I'm just thinking that to myself, like. That's between me and my sisters, I think somebody talks to my mom every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
All right. The Another Simple Favor director spoke out about the rumored Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick feud. I'll tell you what he said about the co-star's relationship on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Does anybody really get 8 hours of sleep? It always ticks me off when I'm reading things that say, you really need 8 hours of sleep, right? I don't know anybody that gets 8 hours of sleep. Some of us get 5.5. Some of us get 6. But there's no one that gets 8. Jackson is struggling with this right now.
Big time.
Yeah.
You know, at the start of this year, I kind of started on a bit of a health and fitness journey. And I've been really proud of myself. I've been being really consistent and working out 5 days a week. I've been tracking what I've been eating a little bit better.
How's the marathon training go?
Marathon training's going, well, half marathon.
Half marathon.
Half marathon. And I actually signed up for a 10-miler that's happening in a few months. Like, I've been just doing what I feel like are all the right steps up until this point. But part of... you know, your recovery and all this stuff and people that people dote as being so important is your sleep, right? And so I have a fitness tracker that's conveniently a ring that I wear every day and it stays charged for a few days and I wear it when I go to sleep. And the biggest reason why I've been wearing this has been to track my sleep to see what I'm really getting at night. Because sometimes you're in bed for a certain amount of time, but that's not necessarily the amount that you're actually sleeping, right? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the results have been absolutely shocking over the last like 2 months that I've been wearing this. So let me just read what the last like, you know, little bit of sleep that I've been getting. 4 hours and 4 minutes, 5 hours and 5 minutes, 4 hours 18, 4 hours 50, 5 hours 7, 5:23, 4:29, 5:26, 3 hours 7, 5 hours flat, 4:34, 4:11.
So you just can't fall asleep. So you will lay in bed and is your what they're calling like sleep hygiene. Is that good?
A lot of that, so it's two things. One is how long it takes me to get to sleep. Some nights I'm really tired and I'm able to fall asleep pretty early, but sometimes I do have this weird like sleep delay where it takes me like 2 hours for me to fall asleep. And then on the nights, even on the nights where it takes me a while or I can fall asleep early, I'm waking up a lot in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. like, you know, 2-3 times. And it's taking me a while to fall back asleep in those times too.
So this has been a major problem for me for so long. In fact, it's funny that you're talking about this morning because literally this morning I sent an email out to do one of those sleep studies where you spend the night somewhere and they observe you all night long because nothing seems to be working for me. And I too have all these sleep trackers and health trackers and stuff like that. But when I check in the morning, none of them say the same thing, but they all agree on one thing, that I cannot get into deep sleep. So it doesn't matter if I have 6 hours or 7 hours or 9 hours on the weekend, I can't get into that deep sleep. And that's where you do most of your healing and your body rests. And if you're not getting into that, you're going to be sick. And now I'm in a panic about it.
So I am one of the people you hate who gets 7-38 hours of sleep a night, and I'm still tired.
In an RV!
But I am a sleepy girl, and I need like 9 hours. But anyway, do you drink every single day?
No, I do not.
Okay, because that's one thing that, like, as I got older, even one glass of wine would wake me up during the night, watching TV on my phone right before bed. You got to disconnect, like, an hour and a half before bed and get rid of that blue light. Like, there's a ton of stuff you can do to help with your circadian rhythm. It's just, it's not very conducive to normal life.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the biggest advice that all people always say is getting off the screens a little earlier. Mm. And that is just not what I've done. Yeah. And that's like the one piece that I haven't necessarily tried to fix all that much. And so, I don't know. That's like easily the hardest part, I think, about, you know, trying to make this change.
I've been a horrible sleeper my whole life. I think it's really mostly my thinking. And what's annoying about it is if I'm anywhere else, I feel like I could fall asleep on the spot. But the moment I get in the bed, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I can't sleep and I'm not tired.
Couch tired is never the same as bed tired.
That's so true. I get it. I do not get it. But the screen thing has worked for me. I stop being on my screen an hour before I go to sleep, and I read 30 minutes before I go to sleep. It's helped me more than anything I've found so far.
All right, come on. You and me this week, because I struggle with the exact same thing as far as, like, getting off my screen an hour before bed. So what time do you typically, like, what time do you want to go to sleep?
I usually try to get in bed at 10, and I'd like to be asleep by 10:30. That's like my goal every night.
Okay, you and me, 9 o'clock, no screens.
Okay.
I'll join this also. I'll go an hour before.
All right.
So that would be me getting off of a screen at ideally 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm down for the challenge.
All right, so let's give it a try.
Let's do it this week. No screens after 9 p.m. for you and me. No screens after 8 p.m. for him.
Deal. I'll try it.
I can do a week.
Okay.
Y'all have fun.
The Burt Show.
All right, so while I was in Costa Rica last week, I was on this trip, and we were chaperoning, Amanda and I were chaperoning my son and a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds. And a lot of times we weren't with them, right? So we're hanging out with each other. And when Amanda and I hang out with each other on long periods of time, we come up with really random things to talk about. And I'm not even exactly sure how we got into this, but it was really, really interesting. And I asked these guys to come in with a list also. If you had a list of break the rules bucket lists, what would be on your list? Okay. And I'll give you some examples because Amanda had so many and they were so random.
that is not shocking.
Yeah, now I get it. Okay. And she had a lot more than I did. Okay. First of all, she wants to sneak onto a boat.
That would be fun.
That's good.
I don't know if she wants to steal the boat or just spend the night on it, but sneak onto a boat. Okay. She wants to run from security.
No, that's not as fun as it sounds.
She wants to crash a wedding. She wants to steal fruit from a fruit stand.
What? That's so random.
And run.
What is this, Aladdin?
Or in New York or whatever, right? I don't know. She wants to crash a funeral and make a story up about how she knows the family and hug everybody and try to get in on the funeral also. Also for her bucket list of breaking the rules would be she wants to sweet talk her way out of a ticket. She wants to call a restaurant as a celebrity assistant and get a VIP private room. And then when they call you out on it, you're like, oh, they just didn't show up. But all of her friends are in there already. And she wants to steal a bike also.
Okay.
A lot of theft there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of theft.
You might have a little klepto on your hands.
She's a lot of things.
Probably just roll that up into be a criminal.
Yeah, right. Just a felon.
Just for a day.
I didn't have that many, but I did realize, like, I've never punched anybody in the face, and I would like to see what that feels like.
It can feel pretty good.
Yeah. Not with boxing gloves.
Oh, yeah. Well, just don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
It can hurt a little bit. Okay. A lot of people don't know that.
All right. I want to run onto a sporting field, a professional sporting field. Whenever I'm at like an Atlanta United game, excuse me, or a Braves game, any professional soccer, I always ask who's with me, how long do you think it would take if you jumped onto the field for security to take you down? And for me, it's always like 15 seconds. And the person that I'm with is like, minute and a half. And I'm like, there's no way. Because security is lined up all around, right? I would love to try that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
During the game, too. Not like during the celebration when everybody's storming a court. That's too easy. Okay? Stay in a zoo overnight. So sneak into it and stay in there. Watch the animals all night. I want Amanda to throw a drink in my face at a bar and see how people would react. And I also want to dress like a valet and take a car around a block. Those would be break the rule bucket list. What do you got?
For me, I've already crashed a wedding before. So now I feel like to up the ante for that specific list, I need to like give a speech at somebody's wedding.
Oh my God.
That I'm not supposed to give a speech at. So if I'm crashing the wedding, I want to like give a speech towards the end of the night. Or if it's a wedding I'm already at. If I'm not supposed to give a speech, I want to give a speech.
All the brides literally just threw up in their mouth a little bit.
No, please don't do that.
Our worst nightmare.
Admittedly. admittedly, I don't like to break the rules, so this list was tough for me. So I felt like I had to put like another hard drug on there. So I was like, Quaaludes. I think those, I think those have been outlawed.
I'm still not even exactly sure what a Quaalude is. I know it was like hot in the 70s, but does it put you to sleep?
You know what? I saw Wolf of Wall Street once, and I was like, that looks fun. Maybe. Okay. I would need to be like, I would need a supervisor though, because if I'm going to break the rules, I'm going to need a bodyguard.
I think it's meth.
Meth?
It's meth?
Quaaludes are meth? I thought it was put you to sleep.
Methaqualone, or brand name Quaalude, is a central nervous system depressant that acts as a sedative and hypnotic.
Depressant.
Okay.
So that's not an upper, it's a downer.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want one that's more fun. Okay. So I'll change my answer. So just insert drug here.
All right. Getting back to Jackson's sleep problems. Okay. All we got to do is go back to 1977.
It's not a methamphetamine. It's a methaqualone, whatever that is.
Duh.
Duh. Everyone knows that. Yeah. And then it might be kind of fun to be the other woman, like to be the woman that a man cheats for or cheats on you with. But I want it to be like a relationship that's doomed. Like, I don't want to be the reason y'all break up. That's you guys are just already breaking up, but like, I was the last straw.
All right, let's share this right now. Let's take caller number 10 right now. If your relationship is teetering and you're a guy and you need a mistress, we're giving Abby away right now to caller number 10.
And those are the only things I could come up for my list.
For me, one of the reasons I started trying to learn how to play the piano is because I always wanted to like see a piano somewhere where you're not supposed to play it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so quiet and then you just break out in Beethoven. I've always wanted to do that. The forbidden like rocks and things that you're not supposed to take, I've always wanted to take
them. Don't do it.
You scared me. But I've always wanted to do it before that to prove that it is a mental thing and nothing will happen. But I've never done it.
Didn't you steal one in Hawaii and we had to find somebody to send it back?
It was not
Mexico.
Hawaii.
Mexico.
It was in Tulum. It was in Mexico at the ruins. I almost said the S word. A bunch of stuff went wrong afterwards. And so a listener was going to Mexico, so I gave her the rock. She placed it back. We read a poem to the wind of God, or the God of wind. And then, life still sucks, but whatever.
I want to take a tour of a restricted area, like one of those areas they tell you not to go. Mm. I've always wanted to sneak into like a NBA arena and just play basketball with my friends, like just us, nobody else in there.
Oh, like at night?
Like, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. And you have inspired me, Bert. Ever since you told me that story about sneaking into a locker room after the players have won or something like that, I've always wanted to do that from then.
Yeah, the Miami Heat won a championship and me and my friend Kevin snuck in to the celebration right after they got off the court, just walked in there. Security must have looked like we were part of the accounting team or whatever. Let us in and there we are. Like, I've got pictures of me holding the NBA trophy with Dwayne Wade.
That is amazing.
He's still got sweat all over him.
I want to do that bad.
It would never happen again. I think in like 100 tries, I think I got that night was the one time it would happen.
Oh, that wasn't the only time you tried it.
No, that was it, man. Hell no. I was just drunk enough. Chris, what do you got?
All right, so I would like to go at minimum 120 miles per hour on the highway.
Oh, I've done that. It is intoxicating. It is.
Yeah. We're not supposed to admit our felonies on the air.
I've already told you, man, that strip of highway between Atlanta and Nashville, there's no cops out there, man. Have a good time.
I really want to dump a drink on somebody's head.
Uh-huh.
Like just do the slow pour over top of their head. I really would like to hit another car. And not like one of those, those whatever derbies that they call where the
demolition
car.
Derbies.
Demolition derbies. Yes.
I was about to say, save that for court.
Yeah. So, but I would like to hit another car. I would love to get arrested at a protest. Knowing I was standing up for something I really believed in and I got arrested for it would feel like a badge of honor. And then unlike Mo, who wants to play the piano in a place where you're not supposed to, like it's silent and you go, I want to make a really loud fart sound during a profound public moment.
Of course you do. Right. Like a State of the Union speech or something?
Yes, yes. And then all of a sudden in the background you just hear.
The Bert Show.
Sports, you don't care about it. You don't care about the scores. You don't care about the championships. But sports is a soap opera, and there is a heated, weird one going on right now with the FBI and a former Olympian.
This one is insane, and what a story it is. If you have not heard about this, this man went from being a decorated Olympic snowboarder to literally being on the FBI's most wanted list.
Oh, my God.
There is a $10 million reward for information leading to the arrest of former Olympic snowboarder Ryan Wedding.
You just say a $10 million bounty on this dude?
What do you do for $10 million?
He was allegedly running a multinational drug trafficking network and orchestrating multiple murders related to the drug ring.
Murders
and drugs. He is 43 years old. He made the top 10 most wanted list on Thursday. And he, they said in a quote that Ryan Wedding went from shredding powder on the slopes at the Olympics to distributing powder cocaine on the streets of U.S. cities and in his native home, Canada.
You know, whoever wrote that was like, I ate with that one. That was a bar.
And you don't expect this from a Canadian.
No, right? Yeah, they said that the alleged murders of his competitors make him a very dangerous man. So he also has allies that he's been going by while he has been a part of this drug ring. He's going by El Jefe, Public Enemy, and James Conrad King. He was charged in June for murder and drug crimes, and those crimes were augmented in September in an indictment that alleged Wedding and others arranged the shipment of 60 tons of cocaine
what?
A year.
Oh, my God.
Using long-haul semi-trucks to move the drugs between Colombia, Mexico, Southern California, and Canada. In announcing the indictment in October, the FBI said a dozen people had already been arrested in connection with the case. And the U.S. authorities alleged that the group killed two members of a family in Canada in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment and what officials say has been a case of mistaken identity, as well as two other people, according to officials and federal court filings. He placed 24th in the parallel giant slalom in the 2002 Olympics, and now he is on the top 10 most wanted list in the FBI for running a drug pin.
Fascinating story, man. Like, I almost feel like I need to know the background of it because you're training so much. I mean, your whole world is about health for a while, right? Then you make it to the Olympics. And then to go from that to being on the top 10 FBI list.
Ooh, something happened.
Something happened.
From what I was reading, I guess the pressures of the Olympics, and at some point he just lost the passion for it and wanted to find a different way to kind of keep the money rolling. And for some odd reason, this is the direction he chose to go in.
That is crazy, man.
That's a lot of drugs, man.
It's so many drugs.
60
a lot
tons.
Of powder you're shredding.
Yes.
24th in the Olympics, however, on the top 10 FBI list.
Well,
so.
I mean, he finally cracked the top 10, so.
I don't think he would have been a top 10 snowboarder.
And it doesn't have any of the history there, how he goes from one place to the other.
No, it literally just says that they are still trying to figure out exactly what got him into it. Because, I mean, he was trying not to get caught all of this time. So a lot of the information people just don't have, but they're figuring it out as they go. But he is they're certainly looking for him. He's a very dangerous man.
Damn.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
Ooh, the drama is heating up on the red carpet once again for actress Blake Lively because she has a new movie coming out called Another Simple Favor. And this is a sequel to a movie that already came out a couple years back called A Simple Favor. And it was so commercially successful that despite the fact that the two co-stars, Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick, were rumored to have a terrible, terrible, terrible off-screen feud and on-screen feud. They decided to come back and make a sequel to it, Another Simple Favor that I believe comes out in May. So the red carpet was over the weekend at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And of course, this is the first big movie that Blake Lively is promoting since It Ends With Us. Of course, if you listen to the show, you know all about the It Ends With Us drama. This is a movie that came out last year and now it has led to a multitude of lawsuits between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni, where Blake Lively is claiming that Justin Baldoni retaliated against her when she filed sexual harassment claims. And then he sued the New York Times for publishing that complaint and not really giving him a chance to respond in a timely manner. And then he sued Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds directly, saying that they actually tried to extort him for the rights to the movie and the sequel for It Ends With Us. So a lot of drama there. So Blake Lively takes the red carpet this weekend along with Anna Kendrick. And of course, everyone's analyzing all of their movements because there's been a long-standing rumor that these two hate each other. They were even surprised that this movie went through because that's supposedly how much they hate each other. And a YouTuber named Melanie King shared a photo to social media with the two actresses. And she said, oh, that Blake Lively must have been terrified to walk the red carpet. And Anna never wants to work with Blake Lively again. And then the director of Another Simple
favor and a simple favor, decided to shut down those rumors by commenting on it and said, ... you're wrong. To which everyone's like, we call BS, because we have a couple of clips of these too, where, of course, again, everyone's kind of analyzing their movements.
Sure.
So Anna Kendrick's on the red carpet and, you know, she's signing autographs and she's taking photos with all the fans.
Dude, they were peppering her with questions about Blake.
I know that they must have been so anxious to take the red carpet, because it's like you say one thing and you're ending up on a show like this where we're going to be like, what did you really mean by this? So somebody asked Anna Kendrick, what was it like working with Blake again? And her response says it all without really saying anything.
Anna, what does it mean to be working with Blake again?
So she just walks off. She goes, oh, you know, just walks off and just like doesn't make eye contact. She is avoiding the question completely, but she kind of has this like glimmer in her eye as she's walking by, where she's saying, oh, you know, and not really saying anything, but there's kind of like a, oh, you know, and then walks off. And
well,
that,
even that answer in itself, I mean, if somebody asks what it's like to be working on The Bert Show and you go, you know, that's not exactly a great endorsement.
It's very, it's indifferent, but indifferent in the worst way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Blake Lively was actually asked the same question and she said, oh, you know, it's the best. But of course, Anna Kendrick is, I would say she seems a little bit, she's having a harder time faking it than Blake is. So
because she doesn't strike me as a fake person.
I don't get that vibe from her at all. So then she was asked about what it was like to do this film with everything going on in the world, kind of a very vague question to be how has this affected the film? And you kind of have to be chronically online to understand her answer. So I will explain afterwards, but here's what she said.
Yeah. Like, so now the other thing I want to ask you, how do you feel like how does it feel like the movie's being impacted kind of by everything happening around going on in the world?
Why, what happened? I did ayahuasca and the last year of my life is just gone, but I've heard the movie's amazing.
Wait, thank you.
So she didn't actually do ayahuasca. Here's what she means by that, because I'm sure if you're listening to the answer, like, what does that even mean? So to back it up, to get into the lore of Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively, there was a sketch that they did to promote It Ends With Us, and they did it between Ryan Reynolds and Brandon Sklenar, who is the other co-star from It Ends With Us. And there was this entire offbeat sketch that they did where it was like Ryan Reynolds interviewing Brandon Sklenar. And at some point, Ryan Reynolds goes into this weird tirade about how he's always on meth and he's doing meth. And people are like, why is he talking? That's so random and has nothing to do with this movie about domestic violence. Why is he talking about doing meth? Well, the internet sleuths found out that it was probably something to do with Justin Baldoni's ayahuasca journey and maybe talking to Blake about it and talking about how he did the drug and it changed his life, because that's kind of how he was describing meth in that sketch, to where it's like, oh, that would make a lot of sense for them to have a behind the scenes conversation about Justin Baldoni saying that ayahuasca changed his life, and then Ryan Reynolds making fun of him by inserting meth, but kind of in the way you would talk about ayahuasca, which is a psychedelic drug that would help you realize things about yourself.
Oh, I thought that was just her snarky, funny way of being like, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I have no idea what's going on between Justin and Blake, and oh, you can go suck it.
Well, that's exactly what she means, but it's layered. So then Brandon Sklenar was also on the red carpet over the weekend, and he was asked about that brooch that we can't stop talking about, the pink one that Justin Baldoni wore on the red carpet to It Ends With Us, and then Brandon Sklenar wore last weekend, and then posted about on his Instagram that said long live the brooch, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that means he's taking Justin Baldoni's sign finally. Well, somebody asked him about the brooch and here's what he said.
Was there any special meaning behind that pin you wore last week?
Honestly, I wish I could say there was. That was a total happenstance. I woke up in the morning and saw an article and I was like, oh damn, I had literally had no idea. I had an idea I wanted to wear like a floral brooch of some kind, and that was the color I liked the best, and lo and behold, someone also wore that prior to me wearing it, so yeah.
I call BS. I think this entire segment has been people just totally giving us non-answers to avoid the questions, but we know what's going on behind the scenes, guys.
Do we, though, or do we like just seeing Easter eggs that aren't really there?
Are you kidding me? You're going to wear the same brooch as Justin Baldoni, and it doesn't even go with your outfit, and you're going to be like, no. No, we know you're taking a side, Brandon Sklenar. You can't fool us. All right, can the Oscars really be bought? Movie fans are upset after finding out one of this year's most awarded films spent more money trying to win than actually making the movie. I'll explain on your next E-Buzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.